In a world where 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, here's one father who cares about the future of the next generation. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor and a father, and folks trying to establish a biblical way of thinking, a biblical way of life, a biblical way to do society, a biblical way to live, a biblical way to establish our economics and our politics, and to build our lives in the 21st century, trying to restore faith, family, and freedom, values that are quickly disappearing and continue to disappear, and hardly anybody in Washington, D.C. is helping us on this particular vision. Dave, I'm still trying to figure out a reason to vote for John McCain as president of the United States, another Republican, and for the last four or five presidential elections, I've had a hard time identifying a decent candidate to vote for, a candidate that doesn't just want to sit there and preside over the breakdown of Western civilization and figure out how we're going to continue to contribute to the demise of this nation. I mean, do we want to vote for a Republican who presides over the demise of the nation, or do we want to vote for a Democrat who presides over the demise of the nation? You know, Dave, I'm having a hard time figuring out a reason to vote for John McCain for president of the United States.
Well, there's...
There's got to be a reason. Come on, Dave. There's got to be a reason to vote for John McCain.
Well, right now all they're trumpeting is he's not Barack Hussein Obama.
Right, exactly.
And he's got to be. Neither are you, by the
way.
Well,
I know I'm not. Maybe we should vote for me. Or Chad. He's not Barack.
Chad's not old enough.
Yeah.
The Constitution forbids it.
Folks, just trying to figure out a good reason to vote for John McCain today, and went through the web this morning just to identify his voting record, figure out, you know, what is this guy? Is he a guy who hates covetousness, fears God, loves the truth, et cetera, et cetera? Pretty hard to track him. That's one of the problems with John McCain. He's all over the map, which means he's not consistent, and he says one thing, does one thing, says another. But, you know, you got McCain supporting the McCain-Feingold bill. Actually, not just supporting it, but he was right there with Feingold out in San Francisco working on this bill that would violate the First Amendment. You remember it, don't you? It seriously curtailed campaign finance and speech, and I think a violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution. I happen to like the First Amendment to the Constitution. I think a person ought to be able to spend his money and say what he wants when he runs for office.
Well, and this was about other people spending their money, but it pretty much guaranteed that only the billionaires will be running for office in the future and supported by the billionaires and through the little special interest groups that do those commercials, you know, the Friends of John McCain, the Friends for Clean Water, the Friends for, those little attack ads that aren't run by the parties.
Yeah, then you have the McCain-Kennedy immigration bill. This guy teams up with a lot of Democrats, doesn't he? He picks the worst Democrat he can find, teams up with them, and authors a bill with them. It's amazing.
Yeah. He was all over Ted Kennedy on education and some other things. John McCain, you know, he likes to call himself a maverick.
Yeah.
Loose cannon might be better.
He opposed constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. He likes homosexuality, would support a homosexual president. He sponsored legislation that outlawed private sale of guns at gun shows, and that got all the gun owners of America upset over that. It supported federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Also, has publicly stated he will not support reversing Roe v. Wade. So he has exceptions for rape and incest. He's actually argued to change the GOP platform, and in that sense, seems just a little bit more liberal on abortion than George W. was.
Well, you wonder if this guy's actually a Republican, because he certainly, his platform is that of a Democrat. Maybe Joe Lieberman will be his VP candidate.
That's possible. It's possible. You know, there's a lot of guys who are opposing him. I think we've got a conservative reaction, probably for the first time, a major conservative reaction against the GOP candidate for president of the United States. A lot of conservatives were supporting H.W. and Bob Dole and, of course, George W. George W. was probably one of the better candidates that run since Ronald Reagan ran in the 1980s. But then you get this guy, and now you've got a huge conservative reaction against this guy. Rush Limbaugh is not excited about this candidate. He has not endorsed John McCain for president of the United States. James Dobson, it's a little wishy-washy on it. He's kind of waffling on it. I think 2 weeks ago he came out and said he's still considering supporting John McCain for president. Dennis Prager also has opposed him. Joseph Farah from Warren Lent Daily has opposed him, says he's not going to support this guy for president of the United States. So what he's saying is, hey, you know, eventually we'll just wait. Maybe a Democrat will take this thing. We'll just survive a Democrat presidency for the next 4 years, 2012. Republicans may come back with a decent candidate, in which case we can regain some of the ground that we lost. So that's what Joseph Faraz is saying from WorldNet Daily, and I'm like to agree with him.
Well, I am too. I think it's far worse to have a bad Republican candidate than it is to have a bad Democrat candidate, because if you elect a bad Republican candidate, all you're going to get are bad Republican candidates in the future. Yeah. If you can win with a bad Republican candidate, why would you have to run a conservative? You're not going to. And what's more is I think John McCain is facing a mutiny in Congress right now.
Well, I think it's a question of who wants to gain ground. I mean, we've been losing ground for the last 40 years of American history, voting for Republicans that really don't care about principle and really don't want to gain any ground. They don't want to gain any ground on abortion, government spending, homosexuality. They're not gaining ground on any single one of these issues. Not a single baby has been saved since 1973 by any kind of law that was passed through the federal government ever since the Roe v. Wade decision from the Supreme Court of the United States in 1973. So you've got a lot of conservatives, I think, that are saying, hey, we're at the point now we'd like to start gaining ground. Who wants to lose ground? So for those conservatives who actually want to gain ground, they're saying, okay, let a Democrat come in. Maybe we'll wind up with a candidate in 2012 that will actually gain some ground on this thing and will actually, you know, maintain some kind of a progress in the area of faith, family, and freedom.
And one of the arguments you hear is it takes somebody as bad as Jimmy Carter to get you somebody as good as Ronald Reagan. And maybe Barack Hussein Obama will give you another Ronald Reagan-type conservative, at least somebody who's a bit more of an idealist and more principled than John McCain, who we're not even sure what John McCain is about.
It's interesting. At some point, just about every conservative is willing to, I think, re-examine his commitment to pragmatism and say, okay, you know what? I've been so incredibly pragmatic all these years that I've lost all kinds of ground. And pragmatism is a really bad way to achieve a pragmatic good in the end. So, you know, I think a lot of people are re-examining their commitment to pragmatism as a modus operandi in the area of politics.
And in politics, pragmatism means it goes by the code word of bipartisan. And nobody is more bipartisan than John McCain. Nobody is more partisan.
Oh, you're right. McCain, remember, voted to confirm Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer to the Supreme Court and also opposed some of the very best conservative jurists appointed by George W. Bush. So I think what we're looking at with this guy is somebody far worse than George W. Bush. If you have a problem with any part of what George W. Bush did, well, you're going to have even more problems with what John McCain will do when he's in office.
In fact, McCain had some very disconcerting things to say about Alito and Roberts, saying that Roberts was perhaps too conservative. So he's voicing support for the most liberal of all U.S. Supreme Justices ever, Ginsburg, and yet he's a little wishy-washy when it comes to a more literal and conservative interpretation of the Constitution. I think you don't even get good Supreme Court justices with President McCain. I don't even think you can hang your hat on that.
Well, folks, we're examining the presidential candidates for our president coming up here in the 2008 November elections and finding that, hey, John McCain's coming up a bit wanting, I would say. But you've also got Bob Barr, who is a libertarian candidate, and this guy Chuck Baldwin from the American Constitution Party. And, you know, we'll take a look at these guys in just a moment when we get back. Stay tuned. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back.
Folks, one of the passions we have on this radio program is to see a Malachi 4 revival in the hearts of fathers and sons across America. I believe this is the catalyst to the restoration of faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. And that's why we are sponsoring our fourth Father-Son Retreat in Colorado on August 9th through the 12th. This year, again, that's August 9th through the 12th. And folks, we have selected the most inspiring, visionary speakers we can find for this father-son retreat. Doug Phillips, Richard Little Bear Wheeler, and Jeff Botkin will be there. And you will enjoy inspiring talks, father-son Olympics, hiking, swimming, sports, and most importantly, time away with your son in the Colorado mountains. The event takes place at one of the very best mountain resorts in Colorado, the Crooked Creek Ranch, nestled in a stunning mountain range near Fraser. Please register today at check.org on the web for this once-in-a-lifetime experience for you and your son. That's check.org on the web, CHEC.org, or call 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432 to be a part of the Father-Son Retreat.
You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
All right, folks, back on Generations. This is Kevin Swanson talking about candidates now up for president of the United States. And so far, I haven't endorsed anybody, just trying to figure out who to vote for and trying to figure out a good reason for to vote for John McCain today. And coming up just a little short on that one. Now, we've gone to a website here, ontheissues.com, and taken a look at Bob Barr, who was a congressman, I guess, from the state of Georgia. Now he's running for president on the Libertarian ticket. And here he's on a few things here, Dave. Abortion. He voted yes on banning transporting minors to get an abortion. Yes on banning partial birth abortion. Yes on banning family planning funding and USA aid abroad. Yes on federal crime to harm the fetus while committing other crimes. In terms of hiring minorities, yes on ending preferential treatment by race and college admissions. Same-sex domestic partnership benefits. Yes on banning gay adoptions in the Washington, D.C. He's on teacher-led prayer in public schools. He wants schools displaying the words God Bless America, supports anti-flag desecration amendments, supports requiring schools to allow prayer on the death penalty. He's very pro-death penalty. Yes on making federal death penalty appeals harder. More prisons, more enforcement, effective death penalty. No on maintaining right of habeas corpus in death penalty appeals. So it sounds to me like he's not quite as libertarian, a little more socially conservative than I would assumed would have showed up on a libertarian ticket.
Well, that's Bob Barr's record.
Yeah, must be. All right, so you also got Chuck Baldwin running for president under the Constitution Party. As you know, I ran for U.S. Senate here in the state of Colorado on the U.S. Constitution Party ticket. Also ran for governor of the state back in 1994. So Constitution Party is a pretty good party, seems to agree with most of what we say on this program.
Well, we like its founder. We like its candidates through history. Howard Phillips, of course, being one of the main people behind the U.S. Constitution Party, a good friend of this show. And we like the idea of a constitution in America actually being read and enforced for what it says, and not some living, breathing, changing document that you can never get your fingers around.
Dave, you know, I think what's going to happen here is we better prepare for an Obama presidency. I mean, you've got a candidate running for the Republican ticket who is just one of the most anemic, weak candidates the Republicans have ever fronted. You have very little support from conservatives for this guy. Even Mike Ferris from HSLDA told Godometer, I'm not supportive of the Obama presidency for any reason, but he hasn't endorsed McCain and told Godometer he won't mobilize evangelicals to campaign for John McCain. And so, there's just an anemia out there. People just don't care whether John McCain gets elected president of the United States or not. And the reason is the man is not a principled man. He's not a man who hates covetousness, fears God, and loves the truth. As far as we can tell, of course, those being the qualifications God requires of candidates for political office per Exodus chapter 18.
Well, I think John McCain might have some malice towards conservatives. It seems as though he's trying to make the Republican Party less conservative, more middle of the road. He is trying, it would seem, by his actions and by his words, he is trying to take the conservative branch of the Republican Party, the Christian branch of the conservative party also, both the social and the fiscal conservatives, and cut them off. He finds them to be an embarrassment, and he's trying to make the Republican Party the old blue blood party of the Rockefellers.
Right. But if you don't have much excitement or enthusiasm for an agenda, and who wants to vote for a guy who's not going to support oil drilling? Right now, the major issue in America is the fact that people are paying $4 a gallon for gas, and John McCain's right in the middle of it all saying, go environmentalists. Global warming is a real concern. We don't want to drill on our land.
Well, that's the problem of listening to polls. The people are fickle and the times change. And if you don't have a principle and you can't speak to that principle, you're just blowing with the wind. You don't have a rudder in the water. And John thought that, hey, the Al Gore has spoken and the people have listened. And environmentalism was a winning issue. It turns out that maybe it wasn't. Maybe people like to drive to see their environmental movies.
Dave, and I think you pretty much nailed the problem with conservatism on the head. I'm hardly a conservative. I don't like to call myself a conservative because conservatives want to conserve something, and for the most part, they have no idea what they want to conserve. They have no basic standard, no basic principles by which they want to achieve an agenda. In other words, a conservative walks into a restaurant and says, I'd like to have a little less than whatever that liberal's having over there. You know, he has no idea what he wants. He just wants a little less of whatever the liberal agenda happens to be. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you know the direction the nation needs to go, unless you have a standard, unless you have a law, unless you have an ethic, and may I suggest a transcendent ethic, a law established by, oh, let's say God himself, unless you actually have a standard, how in the world can you establish your agenda, your political agenda, and achieve some kind of political power and accomplish some certain goals in 4 to 8 years in political office? Ladies and gentlemen, we really need to start defining an agenda. May I say the agenda ought to be God's law? May I suggest that it ought to be defending human life? Let's establish a pro-life agenda. Let's get into office and say we'd like to outlaw abortion or reverse Roe v. Wade, which John McCain doesn't want to do. Let's say we want to get into office and stop rewarding homosexuality. Homosexuality happens to be one of the major reasons why God destroys nation states and has from the beginning of time. If you look at the Word of God, you're going to find the issues that really tick God off. The issues that are important to God, if God is sitting at the very front of the table and talking to all the conservative political people in America, he's going to have abortion and homosexuality right at the top of his agenda. And Dave, those issues are going to be even more important than the economy as far as God is concerned. Why? Well, because ultimately it's God's law that's of concern to God himself.
Well, the economy is a moral issue. I mean, I don't want to separate the two. The way that we take money from people can be stealing. The way that we take private property or we tax private property can be stealing. Those are moral issues, and God rewards nations that are moral, and he punishes nations that are immoral. When Ronald Reagan said the problem isn't the lack of government, the problem is the government, he was speaking about the government that takes, in order for some just end, it would think, you know, the ends justify the means. But what they were really doing was destroying everything. The law of unintended consequences must always prevail. What was the worst thing you could hear? Somebody say, we're here from the government and we're here to help.
You're right, Dave. I think the Eighth Commandment is an important commandment. And as the government steals our money and redistributes the wealth, I mean, that's an incredible violation of the law of God. And it happens all the time in this country. But the reason why God destroys nations, if you read throughout the Old Testament, you're going to find that he destroyed these pagan nations again and again and again because of the shedding of innocent blood. And, of course, the sin of homosexuality. These are the two reasons why God destroys nations, and I think we ought to start there. Yeah, let's bring the Eighth Commandment into bear as well, and we need to stop the stealing, the redistribution of wealth, and we need to cut government by about 80% down to biblical limits, which would be about 10% of the GNI, 1 Samuel chapter 8. So we need to do these sorts of things. But as far as I'm concerned, we're not seeing much progress in any of these areas. George W. Bush actually stole even more money from the people and redistributed even more wealth by a long shot, more than increased the purview of government more than anybody since Lyndon B. Johnson, my friends, more than Carter, more than Clinton, more than the Democrats. So again, folks, unless we have a biblical standard, establish God's law as the standard, we have set no direction. Dave, I sat down with a conservative Christian a number of weeks ago talking about a political agenda, and the man had no political agenda. He says, whatever John McCain's doing sounds pretty good to me. I think we ought to redistribute even more wealth. We need to care for the poor using the government. And he didn't see that the Bible establishes the family and the church as the major charitable institutions.
Well, and he'll get the opportunity because the government makes more poor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So there'll be
absolutely
more to take care of.
He will contribute to more of the demise of this nation because he refuses to use God's law as the standard for all of life, including the political state. So, ladies and gentlemen, the reason we're losing is because Christians refuse to teach the law of God. And, Dave, I think we need to get back to that, that we are losing the battle because people have the wrong ideology, and they've been taught the wrong ideology in American public schools and universities and by means of the media. And they're not being taught the proper ideology and the proper ethic through the preaching of the Word of God in church. So again, folks, society is breaking down, and we need more fundamental solutions than just electing another Republican who's going to contribute to the breakdown of society and reject the law of God as the standard for a social order. We've got to establish a biblical social order, my friends. Establishing all of life according to the Word of God. That is, let's build godly families, godly churches, godly communities, godly politics. And Dave, I think this is a full orbed vision. I think it's time right now to ignore what's happening in Washington, D.C. All right, go cast a vote for Bob Barr or Chuck Baldwin from the Constitution Party, but let's not focus on what's happening in Washington, D.C. That's a socialist mentality. That's a top-down mentality when all we're concerned about is the presidential race for who gets to be God of America. No, let's acknowledge God to be God, and let's start focusing on building godly families and godly churches. Let's be far more interested in who gets elected to county government and state government than who gets elected as president of the United States. In fact, I think a lot of people have no idea who their county commissioners are, Dave. And yet they're all concerned about who gets to be elected president of the United States. That's an indication that most people are socialists. They're top-down centrists in terms of their political perspectives.
Well, politics are the opiate of the people.
Yes, there you go. Politics are the opiate of the people. Excellent. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's not ignore politics. It is important to vote for men who fear God, Exodus chapter 12. They have to be able men. They love the truth. They hate covetousness. And we need to start looking for men who actually fear God. By the way, George Washington feared God. He didn't take God's name in vain like John McCain does. So I think we ought to go out and start looking for guys who stop taking God's name in vain. David, I think that'd be a really good place to start. And let's elect them to be county commissioner first. Let's elect some godly, God-fearing men to county commissioner and state representative and state senate. And then we'll start looking at the president of the United States once we get a few God-fearing men into local offices. Ladies and gentlemen, we're almost clean out of time here, but let me encourage you to regain a biblical perspective of things. Unless God's people get back to a biblical agenda, we'll continue this slide into Gomorrah. And so my encouragement to you is establish a biblical perspective, a biblical agenda, a biblical vision. And that's what I've laid out in my book, The Second Mayflower. I think we can reestablish this nation on the principles upon which this nation was founded some 400 years ago. But it's going to begin with us going back to God's Word and establishing God's Word as the agenda for all of life. You can get a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, by going to my website, kevinswanson.com, and click on resources and grab a book, The Second Mayflower. And get educated on this particular issue and get excited about it and establish a vision in your own household, in your own family. Start talking about how we in the next generation or two are going to establish a biblical way of life, a biblical social order. And it's going to be quite different from the social order that we have inherited from our parents and from our grandparents. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with our program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.